Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.
As the government reportedly explores options to reduce private car usage, AA Ireland has suggested quite a radical move, and that is basically free public transport or shared bike trials across the country. And I'm going to ask you, because I want you to get involved in this, do you believe if there was free public transport that you would get out of your car and actually use it? I'll put my hand up, nail my colours to the mast, I wouldn't. I'm quite happy in my car. I don't like sharing public transport. That's just me. Eamon Ryan will not get me out of my car. I love it. But that's just me. You might feel differently. And I know in rural Ireland it's a bit more difficult. Eamon Ryan has already said that free public transport will not be happening. He said any increase in passenger numbers if public transport was made free would largely be achieved by reductions in active travel and increased level of unnecessary trips. It is pretty clear that the utopian dream of having free public transport for everyone would come at a cost. Of course it would. It would cost money. But this could be a cost worth paying if we were to encourage people out of their cars and onto public transport. But I want to speak to Blake Boland, who is the communications officer from AA, and he joins me on the air. Good afternoon to you, Blake.
Good afternoon.
It's an interesting concept. By the way, is there any other countries in the world that have free public transport?
There are some areas around the world in certain locations, you know, be it on a regionalised basis. Luxembourg has had it in the past. A few other cities around Europe. But just to be clear there, I was listening to the introduction that we're not calling for free public transport. What we're suggesting is a trial on a short-term basis just to get people encouraged to go out and use it and try the alternatives to
okay.
the car.
So what are we talking about? 6 months? 3 months? 3 months? 6 months?
No, not at all. We were suggesting something like a week. So we have seen things like this in Ireland in the past where certain modes of transport, be it the Lewis or something else like that, gets put on for free for a very short-term basis, but it tends to be on a sleepy bank holiday weekend. And we would love to see the nation's transport infrastructure tested out properly, be it for a week in, you know, the second half of September. So once everybody's back in school, it's normal livelihood.
Yeah,
you know,
working life.
Not a summer holiday. A real-life situation. Let's test it out for a week, because we're trying to change the way we all get around the cities. You know, we're trying to shift to bicycles, to walking, to cycling, to public transport. And we're hearing a lot about the stick as opposed to the carrot. And we're saying, well, look, let's give people the carrot for the week. Let's make it free for a week or something like that. Test it out. Let's see where the pinch points are. Let's see what works for the person who says, you know what, I can save myself 25 quid a week. I will make the switch. Mm. And after that, we'll see how this has really worked, what worked well, what worked badly, and then we could start making some decisions. And perhaps at that stage, bring in a bit more of the stick to encourage people to get out of their car.
We're back to the stick again. But I mean, we seem to have lost the ability to give people choice anymore. I mean, Eamon Ryan and the Green Party have been talking about putting more taxes on fuel, putting in a cost, for example, for driving into the city, a congestion charge, all sorts of different costs. It's all about taxing people out of their cars. Now, personally, I'm not happy about that because I love my car and I like using it. And the trips that I make, it would be more awkward for me and time consuming to use public transport because there is no direct public transport for me, for what I want to do. So it's a little bit unfair, isn't it? I mean, it is a lot of stick and less carrot.
Yeah, and you know, you made a great point there about fairness. So I think that we all accept, I think everybody in the country accepts that we need to do something a little bit different here. We do need to reduce carbon emissions, air quality in our sounds and titties, in cities, and simply just congestion as well. You know, even if you are in your car and you're sitting there in traffic, it's not going to be as enjoyable for you. So we do need to make it fair, though. You're absolutely right. So we can, you know, we can put on extra charges and we can use a little bit of the stick, and that might work in some places. But especially once you move outside of Dublin, outside of the pale.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I can get Michael Healy Ray on the air here now and we could have a ball listening to him for 5 minutes. Because I did hear him the other day saying that Eamon Ryan was trying to criminalise driving a car.
Yeah, well, we're not fully sure. We're not going to put words in Eamon Ryan's mouth, you know. But we do need to keep an eye on what is fair. And a lot of the charges, you know, we actually just came through the Port Tunnel there. And that's €3, normally €10 in the morning at peak times. But there's people who are just quite happy to pay that that 10 euros because it saves them 5 or 10 minutes and they have the money to do that. Whereas people are coming into town, perhaps the nurse coming in to do her shift in the maternity hospital is really struggling to pay those increases in fuel duties, in parking when she gets in. So we do absolutely need to make sure that that this is equal, that it's fair, and that we don't just punish people because, let's face it, at the moment, a lot of people are struggling with the cost of living.
I mean, the one thing I've never agreed with Eamon Ryan in my life, but I kind of do agree with what he's saying, that if you make it free, you are going to have people using it for unnecessary trips. And I don't know how you would sort that out. You have somebody at the bus stop saying, are you going to work or are you just going for a jant for the day? You know what I mean? Off you go there. You're paying and you're not. So I think it would be, and as you rightly said at the start, you couldn't possibly have it free forever because we already subsidise public transport in this country to the tune of billions every year, and it'll just cost a lot more to do that. I don't think we could afford it as a small country.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem we have, Blake, is that a lot of the population don't live on a bus route. You know, I know we're getting there. You know, they have the Bus Connect. They have all that kind of stuff has improved things somewhat. And I hear more and more people talking about using public transport. But generally speaking, unless you're living in Dublin, you know, that's not really an option for you. You know, I mean, rural Ireland has been left out of this conversation so many times. Or people even in Dublin. If you live in Malahide and you have to go to Blanchardstown, for example, you have to go from one side to the other. It's two buses. It's, you know, so it's an hour of your day. And we always talk about time being so valuable in our lives. So people take all that into consideration. They say, sure, I'll just jump in the car. So particularly with rural Ireland, let's deal with that. How are we going to help rural Ireland to be carbon free?
That's right. And you know, you touched on some ideas there, the way people, that they just don't simply have an option. There's no bus outside their door. They live in, like, that even be any street lights or paths to get anywhere. It's not safe to cycle. But the issue there, we shouldn't really be waiting for the perfect solution to do something. You know, perfection is the enemy of productivity. And we do need to make small improvements over time. But if you need your car to get somewhere, that's, you know, nobody wants to say that we have to ban cars completely. Absolutely not. You know, I don't think that's going to work.
But we are pricing them off the road.
That's increasingly happening, all right. But there are other, like, if you can't drive all the way, perhaps we can drive to a local mobility hub. You know, so instead of driving the 60 kilometres into work, there's great parking facilities at a park and ride facility where you can then jump onto a train or a Lewis and get up to Dublin. So instead of, you know, I live in one of the commuter towns, 60 kilometres from the office, and it's just so difficult to drive in. So maybe what I can do is I can drive 3 or 4 minutes to the local train station, and there's frequent trains and they're cheap and they get me into the door.
And that's all wonderful. This comes back to what you said earlier on about you being utopian. And, you know, we see that in London, we see it in New York and Manhattan, we see it in Paris, you know, with those wonderful metro systems and subway systems. We don't have anything like that. And what you're talking about sounds great on paper. Sure, how long has it taken us to even agree to have a metro? You know, a basic system from a very busy part of the city, which is Swords, which is a highly populated and dense area, into the city centre. I mean, we just can't seem to get things right. We can't seem to plan things and actually do them on time. So how are we going to encourage people out of their cars when we're not really giving them an option? We're telling them about options, but we're not giving it to them.
Yeah, I mean, you're making fantastic points there, and we have a public infrastructure system that's just not up to scratch, and that's one of the reasons that we were calling for the trial. We're saying, look, it's okay, you want to encourage people to get out of their cars and change how we move around. Yes, that's fair enough, but let's see the infrastructure in place. Let's give people the option where they can actually make the choice that, you know what, yeah, I can do public transport. Mm-hmm. And you're right in saying that it's simply not good enough for a lot of people in the country at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So, firstly, do we think the Green Party will be elected again in the next general election and we'll be continuing with all this policy? Do you believe, just, you know, from a personal basis, Blake, do you think that we're rushing this, the policy, I suppose, the green policies? I know they're looking for net zero by 2050. I understand all that. They want people to move into electric cars. That's not possible for most people at the moment because, firstly, we don't have the charging points. Secondly, we don't have the money to buy the bloody cars, right? And there's a shortage of them as well. But do you think we're moving a little bit too quickly in relation to this, you know, and basically taxing people out of existence at already a very difficult time for people when it comes to energy costs?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, the experts, the scientists tell us that we need to act very, very quickly. And are we going to be able to act that fast to get the results that we need? And it's very difficult to see how that's going to be, how that's going to happen. But at the same time as well, we mentioned this point earlier on, that if we wait for the perfect solution, that's going to go on for too long. So we have to take some steps. Not everybody is going to be happy all the time. And it goes back to that point that we made earlier on about these changes that we need to make. Let's make sure that they're fair, because we can't leave people behind. There's a lot of people struggling at the moment, and we need to bring everybody along together in a fair way.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on the air. Blake Boland, Communications Officer with AA Ireland. Now, the question I'm asking you is, now, Blake obviously said it would be a trial. If the trial worked, potentially, and it reduced by half the number of cars on the road in cities. Obviously, rural Ireland is not going to make a huge amount of difference. And I'd like to hear from you, by the way, if you're from rural Ireland, what is your public transport system like? And I find it disingenuous of the government, and particularly the Green Party, who literally have a small percentage of the vote and people have no idea why they're even in there. But anyway, only to suit Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil. I find it bizarre that they make all these suggestions but not an alternative. They talk about alternatives, but there are alternatives that don't exist for most people. Like, for example, when they even talk about retrofitting your house, it's all well and good to say you can get a grant, but you still have to pay quite a substantial amount of money yourself, and most people don't have it. It's all well and good to say drive an electric car. Most people, probably 90% of the population, can't afford an electric car. They're too expensive until they come down in price. And even then, I could get somebody on tomorrow to have a whole interview about the production of electric cars and the damage equally that can do to the environment and do to people's lives as well. You know, when we're digging, I suppose, constantly all the time for the ingredients involved, cobalt involved in batteries. So there is a downside to everything. I don't buy into what he was saying in relation to, you know, this kind of urgency, this level of urgency. I was told about the level of urgency back in the 1970s. The world was going to end in 10 years unless we did something. It didn't happen. I was told about all that urgency. I do agree that we have to be conscious of pollution. I think it's really important. I think we all want to walk around a city and not have to breathe in smog and breathe in horrible fumes and die, because 1,200 people, they say, die every year from respiratory diseases and viruses, or respiratory diseases which are caused by pollution. And that's something that we should certainly be looking at. I do agree that if we can be more energy efficient, we should be. And that would be in everybody's favour, to be more energy efficient. But I think we're pushing too hard and too quickly. And all that's happening is, as we talked about the carrot and the stick, is it's more of the stick and less of the carrot. We don't have the carrot. The carrot isn't even bloody there. And yet we want to tax people constantly all the time. But I want to know if, theoretically, the utopian thing was there and there was free public transport in Ireland currently at the moment, would you stop using your car? I've told you, name my colours to the mast, I wouldn't. I enjoy using my car. I enjoy the privacy of sitting in my car, on the phone, doing whatever I need to do, chatting to whoever I need to chat to, getting work done sometimes. Even though I am driving, yes, I am using, I certainly use a speakerphone. I don't pick up the phone, by the way, in case anyone thinks I do. So I get to have those conversations with people that I don't get time to do during the day. So to me, that's very important. And to me, my car, my private space in my car is important. I don't like public transport. I don't like sharing public transport. It sounds very snobby of me, doesn't it? But would you use public transport if it was free? Would you use it? Billy, I'll be with you in a second. Let me go to Councillor Alan Cheever. He's in Galway, who wants to talk about transport in Galway, because I'm pretty sure it's maybe not the May West. Speaking of the West, how are you doing, Alan?
Good afternoon, Niall. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, you've heard AA saying we should have a trial of free public transport to try and encourage people out of their cars, onto bikes and into buses or trains or whatever it happens to be. Do you think that's a runner?
I actually think that it's a very good idea. I think that we really have to encourage people to use public transport. But I also think that what you spoke about earlier about Dublin really is the only show in town in relation to this at the moment is very, very true. As a city councillor in Galway City, the NTA last year told us that we will have no park and ride or commuter rail within the city till 26-27. And last Monday's council meeting, we had a presentation on the Dublin Road Bus Connects, and we were told that that won't be, ready till 2028. So I think...
And now you know as well as I do, when you hear 2028, you can add 4 years onto that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as you probably know yourself, the big issue with Galway, and I suppose it's affecting possibly our multinational investments in the future and also tourism, is the traffic issue. We have the ring road.
It's disastrous.
Yeah, the ring road has been taken away at the moment. Hopefully that will be resurrected in time. But the reality is, what we have now is we have no options besides that. And that's a major issue for the city. And we need to see these public transport options for Galway City fast-tracked sooner rather than later.
Because I still have nightmares about the last time I was in Galway in traffic. It is a nightmare. And I don't know how the people of Galway have put up with it for so long. It's a disaster.
Absolutely. I mean, people will tell you, you can come from Dublin to the Galway Clinic on the outskirts of the city in about probably two and a quarter hours. And by the time you get to Galway, from the Galway Clinic to Sawtill, it could nearly take you the same amount of time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so that's a major problem. So, I mean, we need to get this addressed. I mean, I've said in the council meetings that, you know, the Minister of Eamon Ryan, and I've said it to our Green councillors on Galway City Council, we need to make representations to get these projects fast-tracked. There's a real lack of urgency in my view. And I think
I think there's a lack of urgency with the right things to replace the things they want to replace. There's a lack of urgency. I mean, it's all well and good for the Green Party to constantly tell us we should be doing this and we should be doing this and we should be doing this. But if there's no alternative for people, there's no encouragement to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the ring road was turned down, I'd say, as you know, over the last couple of months.
That's right, Jim.
And, you know, that was very disappointing for the people of Galway City and County, as well as commuters from outside Galway who come into the Galway City on a regular basis.
And so, I don't know why they turned down the ring road. This idea that, you know, well, obviously that they want to reduce carbon emissions, etc., and discourage people from driving. But, I mean, they're still going to be driving electric cars at some point in the future anyway. So we're still going to need roads.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I believe that the way forward for Galway City is a suite of transport options, the ring road and good public transport options. And I think it's the only way that we're going to see the traffic alleviated within the city and the outskirts of the city. And at the moment, in my own constituency and the Galway City East and the outskirts of the city as well, what they did was over the last couple of years is they took out roundabouts and replaced them with junctions. And actually, a huge amount of money is cost to the taxpayer. And actually, what they've actually done with these junctions, they've actually made the problem worse. And at the moment, at the Galway Clinic, we have the new Martin Junction. It's gone about 8 months over the actual finish time. And it's a huge bone of contention with the residents and commuters of Galway City at the moment. And this is the problem, Niall, is that what we're doing now at the moment is we're replacing roundabouts with lighted junctions in areas of the city, and actually, what they've done is they've made the problem worse.
Yeah.
And this is causing more issues regarding the traffic in the city.
I've always heard, by the way, Ireland is the only country in the world with traffic lights on roundabouts. Which I don't know, they just don't trust us. That's the problem. But can I ask you on a personal level? Do you use a car or public transport?
I'm going to be totally honest. I use my car 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I should be using the bus more. The 409, which is the bus route in Roscam to Uisge, where I'm from, is probably one of the best bus routes in the west of Ireland, not the country. I think well over 1.1 million passengers use it per year, and buses come on a regular basis. Now,
and is it reliable?
It's very reliable. That particular bus route is very, very reliable, and the buses come on time. A lot of people use it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think that what we need to see is joined up thinking, as in, for example, you know, if you look at Park Moor, which is on the east side of the city, and where predominantly all the big companies are Medicare companies. So people are coming in from the county of Galway and other areas to go to work there.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe if we had a park and ride facility on the periphery, on the edge there, where people could actually leave their cars, get the bus into work, we're taking traffic and coming into the city. So we need to be looking at all these different options. Like Galway City.
I mean, it must. Sorry, Alan, for interrupting, but it must be difficult for the people from Galway, Limerick, Cork, Kildare, wherever it happens to be, that are listening to us today, to hear the Green Party talking about things and, you know, making, you know, we want to bring in congestion charges, we're going to put extra taxes on fuel, we're going to do all these kind of things, and we're going to offer you this and offer you this. And they're thinking, oh yeah, that's great for Dublin, great for Dublin, great for Dublin. You know, because, I mean, in Dublin, in fairness, they have the Lewis. Now, it's a highly populated area. 1.7 or 1.8 million people by day, 1.3 million people by night, I think. So it's a highly populated area. So they do have a lot of public transport, but there still isn't enough. So the people from Galway or Cork or Limerick who are jealous of us, I don't think there's a reason to be jealous, because there are a lot of people still disconnected from a public transport system in Dublin even.
Yes, you know, I think that, as I say, I believe what we need to see, especially in Galway City and county in the rural areas as well, we need to see bus routes escalated, more bus routes coming on stream, more commuter rail. For example, we've had European funding now in the Oldmore train station to put a passing loop. So to have a designated commuter train going from Athenry into Galway City with frequent connection all the time. And I think that if that comes in, a lot more people are going to leave their cars at home and use that train.
Okay.
But as I said in the outset, it's going to be probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 years before we see that coming on stream. But we need to see the process.
Right. Okay. Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Alan Cheevers in Galway. Let me go to Billy as well. Billy, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Billy?
Hey, Niall, how are you keeping?
Good, Billy. If it was free transport, would you get out of your car? Because I'm looking at some of my texts coming in here and somebody says, Niall, I live in the back roads in Oxendam. That's the back of Dublin Airport, by the way. We're still fighting to get a bus. We got a bus stop done with a turnstile, as we were told if we did, we would have a bus and still nothing. We have a little bus that only runs every hour. It stops at 7 o'clock. It doesn't run on Sundays or bank holidays. So it's my car all the way. Public transportation free is a joke. Oh, yeah, sorry, is it a joke? So in other words, there's no public transport where that person lives. So why would you even want it for free?
Yep. I was kind of looking at the, for me to go, I work from home most of the time. And if I have to go to the office, which is in Dublin, it'll take me on public transport 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's getting into Houston, getting on the Lewis, switching on the Lewis on O'Connell Street or Abbey Street and going south then. And it'll take 3.5 hours. In the car, it'll take me 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Okay. And time is precious. Our time is valuable.
Time is precious, time is valuable. And as you said, right, if you're in the car, at least you can take calls, at least you can be a little bit productive. Now, I can be productive on a train as well, but when you get on the Lewis, that's an hour gone. You're not really going to do much on the Lewis. So it's a case that you can make it free, but there's simply not enough.
But the problem here is, you know, since the Green Party have been available to us, which we're all delighted with, I'm sure, the cost of driving a car has gone up substantially. You know,
the party of taxation.
Hmm.
I think you said carrot and stick there a while ago. The Green Party is all stick, no carrot. There's no
carrots being offered, but they're not there.
What carrots?
The carrots are buy an electric car, cycle a bike, do all these. I mean, we can't afford to do those things.
There's no carrots for an electric car. They're taking away most of the grants for electric cars.
Yeah.
You know?
They're too expensive.
If you want to get your house retrofitted with solar and all that, the grants, they simply just aren't enough.
Well, you still have to have the money yourself, too.
You have to have the money up front, and then you get the grants back. So, you know, that's the stick first. The stick is you pay for it, and then the carrot is we might give you some of the money back in the future. They're not incentivizing people to do this. If the Green Party was serious about this, when they got into government the first time around, they would have pushed for massive spending on public transport. Putting in new rail lines and, you know, instead of turning every one of the old rail lines that were closed down in the 50s and 60s into greenways, they would have went and put them back into operation or replaced them. They're not serious. They're bluffers. Even if you look at the Dart, I don't think they finished electrifying the Dart yet. If they were serious about it, the Dart would be an electrified.
That's incredible, isn't it, that they haven't finished that yet? That's going on 30 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So like they talk a great game, but when it comes to the execution, they're very light on it. And look, Eamon Ryan the other day saying, I don't want to make public transport free because it'll encourage more journeys. What does he expect us to do? People have to go to work. People have to function. They can't just stay in their houses the whole time.
He'd like that. You could stay in your house and put some plants in the windowsill and water them all day.
And grow your vegetables.
And grow your vegetables, yeah.
Even where I'm living now, they've introduced a bus service in the last year and a half. It came in before COVID with a couple of routes, and they're after bringing in these Bolt bikes. And in fairness, people are using them. It's started to get use. But in terms of the volume that's needed, it's not there. The councillor that Jack had on a second ago talking about park and rides outside of towns and buses going from there, it's something that hasn't been done on a scale even outside of Dublin that's needed to make any bit of difference.
And by the way, the ironic thing about it is that most of these individuals that are in power that are telling you not to be using public transport or not to be gas guzzling or not to be, you know, adding to the problem of carbon emissions are the very ones that are doing it. Because we've seen the amount of hypocrisy that we've seen of recent times in relation to, you know, do as we say and not as we do is just bizarre. But they're telling us to do it anyway. Stay there for a second, because I want to go to Mike as well. Mike, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How you doing, Mike? Oh, Mike, hang on. I just need to switch it on here. Hang on, I switched you off for some reason. Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Hello. Well, come here, this public transport is a load of, it's a joke. It's all for the capital. That's it.
But everyone keeps saying that. Oh, you guys in Dublin are grand. It depends on where you live in the capital, Eamon. You know what I mean?
Well, no, yeah, but look, I'm down here in Cork.
Mike, sorry.
I'm down here in Cork. The closest shop to me is 5 miles away.
Yeah, no, I understand that, yeah.
You know, but the public transport, look, I have been...
I listened to Michael Haley-Ray on the radio the other day there, and he was talking about, you know, the Green Party tried to criminalise driving, right? But I kind of agreed with everything he said. We're ignoring people like yourself who live 5 miles from the nearest shop, and there's no public transport.
And then they're trying to bring in electric cars, so we could use electric cars coming from the countryside. Like, we won't even talk about the electric cars, because over in Germany, a ferry company is after banning electric cars and their car ferry because they're pronounced for exploding.
Well, there has been incidents of them going on fire. And the problem with them is, can I just, because I don't want people to think there's some sort of problem. Electric cars don't go on fire any more than ordinary cars. But the difference is, when they do go on fire, they're difficult to put out. That's the problem.
But the thing is, look, if you go back to transport, look, I have been up in Dublin and I have tried transport, the public transport. I get lost in the city shafts than I would out in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, I felt very uneasy in the public transport.
Yeah, I can understand why. Some people don't like it. Some people don't feel safe in it.
No, it's nice. Look, I was there one night and a fight broke out and that was the noise. Just,
yeah.
But I would say, if like the Green Party are living in Dublin, they don't know what's outside Dublin is.
So how do you feel about being taxed, essentially? I mean, they're going to increase the tax on fuel, increase the taxes on everything to stop you from driving your car because they want to encourage you to use public transport.
What can we do? Because no matter what way you try to avoid it, they're going to nail you anyway. Like they're still pocketing 35% of petrol and diesel. You know, a majority of the politicians that are talking don't even know how to drive a car because they're being driven around the place.
Yeah, well, we do remember Shane Ross, of course, the last Minister for Transport, who didn't even have a driver's license.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's on his car for his bike to go up and down around the countryside, so he can drive his 2-liter diesel car or van or whatever that he's driving. You know, it's just, look, I don't want to take no of the politicians anymore, because look, they're all in the same ship.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Eamon just very quickly before the break. Eamon, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Eamon, I can't disagree with Mike. We're ignoring the farmers of Ireland, the people who live in rural Ireland who need transport.
Yeah, I want to give it from a personal experience, if that's okay. I was listening to your man from the AA. Right, and I just wondered what thought he'd put into this, right? For 30 years, I was working in Dublin, so I commuted from Newbury's railway station, where I parked my car every morning, right? If I wasn't there before 8 o'clock, there was no room to park the car, and it was a huge car park, two sides of the tracks.
Yeah.
When I got the train, I was lucky later on, there was a train leaving for Newbury, so I get a seat in that, but if I had to get another train, they were all full before they came to Newbury, so you were standing the whole way to Dublin. Then when I got to Dublin, I had to wait and let one or two Lewis's actually pass me at Houston, right? Because you couldn't get on the track. So the question that was asked your chap, he said he wanted a week and he wanted to measure it. And you mentioned something about, will a fella be standing there saying, are you going to work or are you a commuter?
Are you casual? Are you going for a jaunt?
But from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock, based on my experience pre-COVID, right, they were all commuters. We were all paying $2,000 or $3,000 through the taxi ever, right, for our yearly tickets and paying an extra money at the railway station, or the hubs, as he was calling them. He appeared to be talking as if people were not using these hubs. We are using them, and always have been. You know, so how will he measure if this works?
So, in other words, what you're saying is they're already packed.
Well, pre-COVID, I retired in 2019, okay? So So obviously COVID knocked a lot off. But I believe from your daughter who's commutes that they're packing back up.
Oh, yeah, they're again. Almost back the way they were again. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So like, so how did he measure? How was he going to measure it when everybody that was there on the Monday morning was there the last Monday morning? They're all going to work.
If you double that number because you make it for free for a week, where are they all going to go? Are they all going to try and squeeze onto the dart or the Lewis?
Complaint we used to have, and there's nothing against. I'm an old person myself now with free travel, right?
Ah, you don't sound too old, Eamon. You're old.
The hospitals used to give these people medical appointments at 8:30 in the morning, right? And they were booking a seat on the train when the commuters were going in their thousands, and it used to cause murder, right? Because you paid $3,000 for your ticket and you're told you can't sit there, right? Because somebody's getting on at 4 stations away from you, right? So the seat's empty all the way.
Well, this is the very reason Billy said he wouldn't use public transport. He just doesn't like it.
Exactly. And I agree with you 100%. I used it because the tax saver that, and I was lucky, I live in Newbridge, we had a main...
Poor old Mike doesn't even have station. Public transport. God love him, yeah.
No, it's true.
I sent in a picture to you there a few seconds ago with the Ireland in 1920 versus 2020 in terms of the railway lines in the country.
Yeah.
And if you look at that...
I know the picture you're referring to.
Yeah. And I quote my grandfather. This all goes back to the 1950s when a fella called Todd Andrews was put in as the head of CIE. And
there was more railway lines then than there is now. But sure, there was a great railway line that used to run through the Phoenix Park at one stage.
And if you look at the rest of Europe, Niall, from 1946 onwards, they started building rail everywhere. And we were digging it up and building motorways. All of this goes, like, we can blame the Green Party now for their lack of...
I should just blame them anyway. Blame them for everything.
A lot of this goes back to the 50s and 60s when successive governments decided that the car was the way to go and get rid of the rails.
Okay, well, look, I don't have a personally huge problem with the car. Some people do. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Eamon. Thank you, Mike. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Mike makes a really good point about farmers, people living in rural Ireland. They're not included in this. It's all talk, isn't it? You know, about cities. I want to know if they used public, or if they gave you public transport for free, theoretically, would you use it? I wonder, by the way, if there was even enough of it, would you use it?
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
See, here's the problem, and this kind of sums it up, this text here. Hi, Niall. I've tried to do my bit for the environment and use the workers' bus instead of the car for 1 month. The bus Aaron bus was supposed to arrive in Galway City at 7:40 a.m. Week one, late two mornings for work. Week two, late three mornings for work. Week three, on time four mornings and failed to arrive on the Friday. Week four, late on one morning. After a warning from my boss, I had no choice but to get back into the car again. I worked in Belgium for 2 years, and he kind of made a mistake at the end, but I'm assuming he's saying that everything was different, that obviously things were on time constantly all the time. I know in some countries in Europe, if the bus or the train is late, they give you a letter for your boss. They actually give you a little thing to give to your boss because they're so sure they're going to be on time all the time. And they apologise to you. He said, this country is a joke. Now we go to June. June, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, June?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Now, you have a bit of a story. And by the way, it says on my screen you're a bit nervous. Don't be nervous. You're only talking
very
to me.
Nervous.
Yeah, I'm your best friend.
You do know me, Niall. You really do know me.
Oh, I do know you.
You do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you after.
All right, okay.
Okay.
That sounds very interesting, June.
Oh, no, we just go way back. Think of football.
Oh, okay. Our parents knew each other, did they?
Yes, they did.
Oh,
they
I know did. Who you Our are parents. Now, June.
Yes, you do know who I am.
Oh, yes, indeed. Am I allowed to say it?
You can if you want.
Yeah, your father was president of the FAI.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my father, I think, was on senior counsel at the time, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah,
and I met your father not long before he passed away, actually. He was visiting your sister.
Oh,
and
Tala, yeah.
We knew each other instantly.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, listen, I was, myself and my husband got on the train. And this is my first time ever to be on radio, so I am really
nervous.
Take your time. But I really was upset over this. I was so shocked. And yes, I am nearly 63, but okay. I was so shocked. Myself and my husband went into town for the day on the Bridget weekend. You know the Bridget Bank Holiday weekend?
Yeah.
We went in on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And we got the 16:24, the 3:30 train, I think it was, from Euston.
Yeah.
And when we sat on the train, it chops it in on the other side, you know, the other side of the aisle. And he had a crack pipe behind his ear.
Oh, God.
And he was very agitated. And just before, just to kind of ask the train to start moving, he made a phone call. And when whoever answered the phone, he said, yeah, I'll be up in 20 minutes. I want to order a half a bag of brown and two rocks.
Oh, God.
Right? And yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah, I'll be up 20 minutes. And then he put the phone, obviously finished the phone call, and he made another call to tell somebody else that he had made the order and he'd be collecting it in 20 minutes and he'd be up.
And he was probably brazen about it, didn't care who was listening.
Oh, no, loud, really
loud.
Yeah,
I didn't care.
Really loud.
Yeah.
He was extremely agitated.
Yeah.
Coughing all over the place, putting his head, taking the tray down in front of him and trying to go to sleep on it, in which he proceeded when he did put his head down to break his crack pipe and left that on the floor of the train.
Right.
And
were you nervous? You were obviously nervous.
I was.
Terrified.
Really nervous. He was right beside. He was right beside us.
Yeah.
You know, and I really felt uncomfortable and, you know,
yeah, you would,
Bubby is gone, don't make eye contact. And I'm thinking, but if somebody vulnerable is on that train, and you know people are vulnerable people have to use that train. And I rang Irish Rail and they said there was nothing they could do about it. You know, was there anyone on the train, a guard on the train or anything? I said, no, I've never seen one on the train. So they said, they gave me a number to ring, which was the security for the likes of the Lewis and the rail.
Yeah.
And they said, like, there's nothing we can do about it.
No, there is nothing they can do, unfortunately. I mean, look, they do have security, but they can't be everywhere, I suppose. You know.
Yeah, but
I know.
And it was acceptable at half.
Yes,
at 4 o'clock, half four. Would you think that's acceptable? At half
see,
four
June,
in the
this
afternoon?
Is this is what I said at
this
the start of the show. This is why I.
Yeah.
That's why I was going up to the courts from the radio station one day, so it was better to use the Lewis because by the time I go and get my car, I drive up, go through traffic, it would have taken me an hour and a half. I could do it in 10 minutes in the Lewis, right? And I got on the Lewis here from the radio station, and we were down near the Tree Arena, up to the Smithfield Courts, up there towards the Family Law Courts.
Yeah.
And the amount of degenerates on the Lewis was unbelievable. I mean, people, I had two people sitting behind me measuring how much methadone they had each and arguing over who had the most. I had never experienced anything like this in my life. I'm not being a snob, but I felt uncomfortable. And I said, if I have a choice, I will not use public transport for that reason and that reason only.
Well, we've decided we'd never use it again. Mm. Unfortunately, though, I do have to have my son on it.
Yeah.
And he would be classed as a vulnerable person.
Yeah.
And the Lewis is a nightmare for him. There's no two ways about it. It is an absolute nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
But why does Eamon Ryan think, seriously, why does he think that he's going to get us all thinking the way he thinks?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to happen. I mean, they're never going to get in again. Let's face it. We all know they will never get in again. I can't see them ever getting into government again. Like everyone,
don't say never, but I understand the point you're making.
You say never.
Well, only 2% of the vote. You know what I mean? That means.
I know. And yet, like, I mean, it doesn't matter who's in anyway. It's not going to make any difference to the most of us.
Mm.
They'll paddle their own canoe.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's the way our government is. But
here's the thing, June, right? And I'm sorry for going into a deep conversation with you here now, but when the next election comes, can I ask you who you'd vote for?
I really don't know if I'd even vote.
This is the problem everybody has at the moment. You know, because they're all saying the same thing anyway.
I really, honestly don't think I'd even want to vote.
And that's sad. Isn't that sad? Because as we all know, people died in 1916 for you to have a vote.
Yep.
And we don't want to use it. And we're all in the same boat. We all feel that there's no point anymore because they're all doing the same thing. There was a time years ago where you had different political parties with opposing views. But now they are more or less the same.
They have. And do you know what? You talk about all those people that died in 1916 to make Ireland Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And what did their government do? We signed it away to Europe.
Absolutely.
Do you know?
Well, listen, June, it's been lovely talking to you. And I'm sorry you had a bad experience in public transport. Hope it's not replicated ever again.
I won't be on it again, I hope.
Hopefully. Well, listen, it's nice talking to you, June. And thank you. And you keep well.
Niall.
Okay, and your family. All right. Thanks very much indeed.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hit.